us again a little bit about Joe Jesse?
Joe Jesse, a music man, a music teacher that I took over from. I never knew him personally, but he had the band when I came here.
And what was his band's name?
He was teaching a high school band. He was killed by a student. An argument came up on one of the schools over here, and this kid goes home and gets his shotgun and go back and shoot the man. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. Mm-hmm. But I took over the band then, and he had about 25 kids. I increased that to about 45. Would you believe that I used to play jacks with the girls? Well, everybody has a method by which he has to get his program over. Mm-hmm. We had some pretty dumb kids back in those days about music. They really didn't want to know, you know. But I would draw me 5 lines and 4 spaces on the ground. Mm-hmm. I'd put a jack on each one of those lines. I'd get a little ball and to teach those kids the name of the lines, mm-hmm. the name of the spaces, which was to me a simple way, and it turned out to be a good way. I shot marbles with the boys. I did the same thing. I put a marble on each line, and I tell those kids to knock such and such a marble off. Say, knock D off, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, a certain line was D or whatever. Mm-hmm. And from that, kids got interested because I was right down there with them. I was, you know, wasn't too good to get down there with them in order to get my point over, because I had to produce. And some of those kids turned out to be pretty good. I've had 3 of them played in big bands. One of them's in Detroit now, Robert Simmons. Herman Macmillan, he went up and he played with a band out of, what's the name of the band? Oh, they just scatter around. I had a girl that played trombone. She stole my style. I didn't know whether she was playing or I was playing. Yeah. But it was nice, you know. All those kind of things. They're interesting mm-hmm. now, but hard then. Mm-hmm. But I can really relate to it, you know.
But what were some of your favorite tunes?
Tunes? Yeah. Well, I used to play Stardust. I played... Well, anything. It didn't make any difference. All the tunes that was popular during those days, I played them. Like Sophisticated Lady, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Begin to Begin. Oh, there were quite a few trombone songs, like the one Tommy Dorsey used to... Oh, I just can't name all those songs.
You like Stomping at the Savoy?
All that type of thing.
1 o'clock Jump?
All those tunes.
Yeah.
Now, Harold Andrews, you interviewed Harold?
Yeah.
He got all those records. He got everything that you can imagine mm-hmm. an individual having.
Yes, we heard it.
And he can name it, just call it off, you know. But well, everything during that era he has, I played it. It didn't make any difference. Mm-hmm.
Were there ever any pieces that were written by local people here in Pensacola that you played when, you know, after you moved down here?
Not really. I mean, the local people, there was not a lot of local writers. Harold was pretty good. I don't think Harold ever became what you would call, name. Mm-hmm. But he'd write a few tunes, you know, he'd probably sit down and say, I'm going to arrange something that I already know. Like, say, Jumping at the Woodside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He might want to arrange it in a different method, a different way. Put a few more bars, you know. Just do it just a little bit different from the original. Mm-hmm. He could do that. Mm-hmm. He was a good musician. But nobody here ever became worldly known as a writer. Uh-huh. You've had, I don't really think that there has been anybody to come from Pensacola in the music world. I don't think so. Could have, but I don't think so. You know, it's big time, you know.
What about vocalists? Were vocalists big in this area, or was it mainly an instrumental?
Pensacola has been known for instrumental playing. You had, they never got anywhere singing. You had one Peggy Scott. Have you heard of Peggy Scott? Peggy Scott, she made 2 or 3 records. She's from Pensacola. And I think she was working down here at the Sheraton for a while.
Mm-hmm. She play with band?
She just sings. She had a beautiful voice.
Oh, okay. Just sings by herself, plays piano?
No, she doesn't play piano. She sings with groups.
Okay.
Now, I don't really know of...
Of course, Ida's sister, Billy Pierce. She was a singer, wasn't she?
Who?
Billy Pierce.
Did I know of? Could have been before my time. That's Ida's sister?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
She went to New Orleans, played with Dee Dee Pierce. She married Dee Dee Pierce.
That's a possibility. I said, I wouldn't know anything about
that. The trumpet player. You know, when they...
I wouldn't know anything about that. Because that was before my time in Pensacola, you know.
Uh-huh. Right, before you got here.
There were a few, there has been quite a few musicians. You know, some bass violin players, Kelly, DJ Kelly. He passed. It's been a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Back in that day, people didn't really take care of themselves too well. Some of them abused their health, and you know. Did a lot of things. There's not too many of us living now.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that phase of playing what do you think or was the heyday of that band?
Of jazz?
Yeah, in this area I'm thinking about.
I would like to think it had to be around 38, from around 38, 37, 38, up to 40.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when the big bands were, you know, big bands were numerous.
Mm-hmm.
And every big band on earth that came to Florida came to Pensacola. And Pensacola was just a dance town.
Mm-hmm.
People loved to dance in Pensacola. I came to Florida three times before I came here to stay. 3 times. As a kid, you know, as I said, just in school, run up there and play with the guys, come down here, go back up there and then go back to school. This type thing, you know. But music in those days was music. I mean, people got a great kick out of saying, well, I'm a musician, and would be able to prove it because this is a sheet of music. Put it up here and you look at it. Whenever the band gets ready to knock, you know, start the band off, we start playing. And we play it just like we read. We play it just as it's written up here.
Did you ever do any improvising, or did the people...
I didn't write. I didn't write any. But I could play anything I saw. I played very well. Tell you the truth, I wasn't the baddest trombone player in the world. Wasn't the worst, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did pretty good. I held my own. Because, as I said, we used to have battles of music, you know, and everybody would get up and try to beat the next man playing and all this kind of thing. And
did they ever do music battles here in
mm-hmm.
Pensacola?
Yeah. Had 2 or 3 different bands at one time. on the bandstand. We'd get up and do our thing. They'd get up and do their thing. And that was it. We just enjoyed that type of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Where did they do that?
They did around here to Savoy or the three-name place.
Yeah, yeah, right. The 506 now.
506 now, Savoy before then and Dreamland before then. I think it was during the Dreamland years that most of the big bands came. In the later years, the 506 has had a lot of bands, but like the bands that come out of Atlanta, like who was here last? I had some named people to come here, you know?
Well, Ed Pierce Jr. said they're going to have Clarence Carter.
Yes, he's been here several times.
Yeah,
he's been here several times. There has been some nice groups of people come here. Mm-hmm.
But did Ed Pierce, was it his policy to start getting away from jazz? Or?
No, time. Time. Mm-hmm. You know, everything works by time. The big band era went out a good while ago. Then came the small groups like the bebop, she wear these socks and all these girls wear those socks and they call it bebops and all this kind of thing, whatever. And then after that, they started the guitar era, These people coming up with these folk from over in England. Who were they?
The Beatles.
Beatles. They brought a different style of thing. Right. That was a different era, Right. Now that's going out. All this thing is going up. Jazz is really coming back. Because the big band don't play what the Beatles play. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to play what they originally played. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to know the truth, Duke Ellington wrote the last thing in music when he made a chord out of seven notes, and it's only seven notes in a scale. Doesn't make much sense. But now when you can't top that, you've got to go back and start again, haven't you? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to a point where if there's, that's the ceiling. You can't go any higher than the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't go beyond that, then you're going to have to start back down here and work your way back up again.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way music, what happened to music.
Mm-hmm.
Because any time a one chord can contain seven notes, and that's all there is in a scale. You can forget it. You can't beat it. You got to start over. And everybody was just not able to make a chord with seven notes.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything in lines and spaces,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and make it sound like something.
Mm-hmm.
So now how many people were able to do it? The only one I ever knew was Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And when Duke died, that settled that.
Mm-hmm. Did your band ever play for, singers like, Billie Holiday or anybody like
Billie
that?
Holiday wasn't in my era. I mean, in the area. I don't mean my era. Billie Holiday came along at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But Billie Holiday was in New York. Mm-hmm. We were mostly around Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the bands came up from different areas, you know. California is about the only area that you didn't have a whole lot of bands coming out of California.
Mm-hmm.
But the Middle West and the East, where most of the big musicians came from, big band musicians came from. Now, you had a few, you had one or two to come out of Virginia. Well, they had to flock to places where there was, where people went for that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
And New York is supposed to be the greatest thing on earth. Have you ever been in New York?
Once, very briefly.
Yeah, I came from near there. I came from Connecticut.
Is that right? Yeah, well, New York is the last word.
New York is about the biggest word.
It's the biggest word and the last word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to make it, if you're going to make it big, you're going to make it in New York, or you can forget it.
Well, in the late 40s and early 50s when, well, So when Charlie Parker and all those Dizzy Gillespie, when all those people started playing,
yeah.
did that kind of style of music, did that did local musicians here start getting into that, and then with Miles Davis and that sort of cool era?
Let's see, now that was Dizzy Gillespie. He brought out a style of his own.
Right.
He had a combination, a combo they called it. I think it was 7 pieces. Charlie Parker, one of the best, played in big bands, you know, and the big jazz bands. He was one of the best. Miles Davis is an offspring. Mm-hmm. When I say an offspring, he came behind those guys, you know.
Right.
You had a group of them. You had, let's take, what's his name? The boy that died, his daughter's singing today. What's her name?
Nat King Cole.
He had a trio. Now, all of this came out of the big band, which had to do with the changing of the times. And as the musicians changed, the times changed. Change a little bit more. Somebody else come up with something different, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was still a musical era. And frankly, I believe that everything that has been done has been it was good. Mm-hmm. It was real good. No matter how it sounded, but it was good for the business, you know. Mm-hmm. Because out of everything, something good comes out of everything, no matter what.
I was just wondering about something. Does music run in your family? Were your
I was the only
musical?
One. No, I was the only one in my family. I mean, all of my family. My daddy decided when I was about 11 years old, he said, you know something? We don't have no musicians in our family. You're going to take some music. you can take some music. So I took some music. I was 11 years old.
Well, what did your father do? What was his job?
He's a bricklayer. He was a bricklayer. He wasn't making any money, but that was the job, you know. Nowadays, bricklayers make a whole lot of mm-hmm. money. But back in those days, they were working 40 cents an hour, you know. That's not a whole... But you could go bring a whole truckload of food home mm-hmm. at the end of the week, you know.
Well, do you have any children?
Yes, I got one girl. She's in California. She's not a musician. No, she has 6 kids, and none of them play anything.
So you were the
freak accident in the family.
The only one in the family.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it'll pop up in another generation.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully. I enjoyed my years as a musician. Music life is a young man's life. It really is. The enjoyment you get out of it, the training that you get out of it, and when I say training, has to do with the hardships and the good times and all this type of thing, has to do with making you a better citizen when you get old or whatever, you know. It's a young man's dream. Because when you start running around from town to town, meeting different people, seeing different things, and you mm-hmm. the different cultures that you run into and all this kind of thing, it's the most beautiful life you can live. Mm-hmm. And I've had my share of it. I really did.
Yeah, sounds like...
I've played music with people that I couldn't understand what they were saying. But we could read the music, you know. I've played with Germans, Austrians, whatever. Mm-hmm. Because when you go, Kansas City during that time was a hub of the music world. And they had all types of musicians there. And they would get together and we'd play in a symphony band, you know. Just, we're going to get together, we're going to play this. Somebody's going to set himself up as a conductor or something, you know, and hear some music. You white, you Greek, I'm black, here's a Mexican, here's a African or whatever. If you can read that music, we got ourselves a band. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of thing that I liked. I really did. Color of the skin is one thing. As far as I was concerned, it didn't mean a thing. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. And we helped to break that prejudice down in the music world. And I'm glad I had a part in it. Mm-hmm. I really did.
Well, it sounds like the color bar began to be broken down, as you were saying, in the music world.
That's
here,
right.
Long before it was
Not in any other area. No. We, as musicians during my time, the integration began with music, if you recall. Have you heard this before?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say that Lyle Hampton were played with Benny Goodman.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He played xylophones with Benny Goodman. He was the only black man that had played with a white band. Now, he had to be good. I had another boy that trumpet player. I played right along with him. He started playing with Tommy Dorsey,
mm-hmm.
trumpet player. He was black. He had to be good. Well, now, everybody, that could have been more of it. But now you find a lot of people say, well, hey, man, why should I go over there when I make him, when I can help to make myself or somebody in my own area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this thing started getting around, and eventually Boots Randolph started playing with a colored band. You heard of Boots Randolph?
Mm-hmm.
Boots is a darn good saxophone player. This type thing. And from that, so what?
We've heard a lot about, since we've been here this week, we've been hearing about MOPS.
Who?
MOPS. It's this group of, it's like, I think it stands for Musicians of the Past. Have you heard of
that? That's, they mentioned that in relation to their instrument.
Mm-hmm.
They might call the instrument MOP.
Mm-hmm.
Broom, anything, you know, just go pick up my old broom or something and go on to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they usually mean when they say a mop. It's just their instrument.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
I'm listening.
Oh. I was going to ask you, when did musicians' unions start? Were there black musicians' unions here?
Here?
Uh-huh.
I'm glad you asked that.
Mm-hmm.
I was president of the first musicians' union in Pensacola. After Wallace and I came here, the musicians decided that they were going to start a union. 1937. Started a union. I was the first president of the union. You didn't have too many white musicians in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
As time passed, kids would grow up, white kids under Marchese, they would grow up. They wanted to join a union, they had to join the colored union. But now, the way it was set up during that time, it didn't make any difference who was the head of the union. As long as you were a musician, you wanted to belong to it, fine. It was just the fact we were the first ones to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
I just like today. There's no way in the world nowadays for a black man to open a bank in Prince Court. Ain't no way. They're not going to let him have the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. When we opened our union, there was no white people here to stop us. There was nobody here, you know, to get a union.
Mm-hmm.
Had it been, we wouldn't have been able to start a union.
Yeah.
Because it has a bit of influence. It has to do with being in charge. So I was the first president in 1939. I went to Kansas City to a musicians' union, which gave me an opportunity to see some of my old friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
in 1939. When I quit playing music and they elected another president, They weren't too long. I think it was around 1945. Around 1945, they gave the whites a subsidiary union. Now, you know why? They didn't want to have to come through us. Because during that time, you began to have a lot of white bands that come to Pensacola, playing on the beaches in different places. They didn't want to have to come through the black union. So the people here were, I don't know why they did it. I would not have done it had I been president. No way. Mm-mm. One union for all. Mm-hmm. That's what I told them as long as I was there. That's what we had. But they gave them a subsidiary union to work under our union. So when the whites come in, they'd go to the subsidiary. They had to do what we told them to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they didn't have to come in contact with our people, you know. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the subsidiary took over the union. Now you got a white union down here. Mm-hmm. Now if anybody comes in Pensacola, you've got to go through that white union. Mm-hmm. Which didn't make no sense to me. In New York today, the union in New York today was started by blacks, and blacks still run it. Mm-hmm. But what is the difference? I can understand it. And if you use any kind of common sense, you can understand it. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it is. We had a union here, and we started after we came here, Wallace and I came here, we started it. And the subsidiary eventually took over the union.
Like creating a Frankenstein's monster.
That's right. That's right. Exactly what happened. As I said, today, the way things are, there are some people in Pensacola today and the music world and all worlds still fighting the Civil War, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. Where will you ever get? Why? Just doesn't make any sense.
Kind of thing that probably shouldn't have happened to begin with, and it's too bad to keep the bad feelings still going.
And you've got some good white musicians. I don't know them by name, but I go around different places and listen to them, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I want to go out here to Steakhouse. I go out there and they've got a little white band sitting up there playing. If I know them, I go speak to them, you know. If I don't, I don't.
Now, when did you stop playing music?
I stopped playing around 50. Because I played when I went to California. No, I played in Alabama. I worked in Alabama. I played in Alabama. I left Alabama and I went to California and I worked out there until 1946. I played out there. I came back home, played a while. I left here and I went to Ohio. And I played while I was in Ohio. You know, when you go to a place to work, you go around, you take your horn with you, and you play. When I came back home, 1950, my daddy died. And I put my horn down in 1950. I haven't played anymore. You know, commercially. That's the last time I played for 1950.
But you have played every so often?
Yeah, I got my instrument back there now.
With people?
I've got my instrument back there now. I pick it up sometimes, you know, look at it and see if I can make a tone and all that type of thing. Because, music is more jealous than any woman you've ever known, from my point of view. Because if you don't keep it up, you're going to lose it. You know, you're going to lose your embouchure. You're going to lose everything. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I can't imagine that you'd ever learn or forget how to cook. Mm-hmm. But if you just don't keep up with things, becomes obsolete to you.
So you feel like right now that's where it is?
Right now that's where it is. Mm-hmm. I hope to in time get me a little piece of piano and set it up in here and start to play it on the piano a little bit. I can pick out what I want to pick out. Mm-hmm. And I can read what I want to read. You know, music wise I'm not worried about it, but I got to learn the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I ever learn the keyboard, then I'm going to play to amuse myself.
You sure had a long and full musical life.
I enjoyed it.
Wonderful life.
I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody in the world could have enjoyed their life any better because I live every day. Mm-hmm. Then I lived every day. I've seen the time I'd have cheese and crackers, but I was out there. I enjoyed those cheese and crackers. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. It has been a beautiful life for me. And I tell any young man, if he misses music, he just doesn't know what he's missing.
Yeah.
It's a young man's world.
It's just, it's such a treat to us to be able to talk to some people like you.
It's been nice. I've
been part of the musical.
Mm-hmm. I have really enjoyed this because it brings back memories to me. I can remember playing in Little Rock, Arkansas. We played there every night in the week. I can remember the guys that I played with. By name, I can't. But there's some things that stick in your memory, you know, like here's a guy that he just doesn't look like he's able to do anything.
Okay, it's okay.
He has, just to look at him, look like a moron. Mm-hmm. He might be quiet, but if he picks up his instrument, mm-hmm. Hey, everything that comes out of that man, out of that trumpet, or whatever he's playing, it just changes the whole world, you know? Yeah. Look at him, and you say, now here's a man I didn't think could do anything, you know? But he's way out, you know? Mm-hmm. You meet guys that just do a lot of things that, you know, that probably you've never heard. There are some things that I've heard people play